Chapter 1, we are taking a look at our second lesson out of 1 Peter. And so we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9. 1 through 9 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Awesome God, I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful for the opportunity to present before your saints. Father, I'm thankful for your power. I'm thankful for your design of your system. And I pray that you would be with us as we choose to live and to walk by faith today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So particularly focused on verse 5 here is where we're starting. We're focused on the faith part of this passage. And we'll notice there in verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So we see that it is our faith and God's power. So we notice that we start by faith. A person is saved, they are justified by faith. Now, the scripture is clear about that. What we want to make sure that we understand is that what is God's definition of faith? Actually, Galatians 3, 26 and 27 are helpful with that. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. And so that clearly shows us that baptism is a part of faith. And so we start by faith. Obviously, there has to be the belief and the repentance and the confession components of that as well, but that's all a part of faith. We start by faith. You're saved by faith. But the Christian continues to walk by faith, doesn't he? That was part of the whole point of our going through the book of Galatians, is that we walk in the new covenant system. We live and we walk not by the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. We value those things. We live and we continue by faith. We grow in faith. And ultimately, we end in faith. It is the faith that is there to the salvation of our souls. But it's also true that we start with God's power, we continue with God's power, and we finish with God's power. See, who's the one doing the work in, say, the waters of immersion? God is. It's his power. It's his power demonstrated towards us. Who's the one who's doing the work in our inner man as we live and we walk by faith? It is the power of God. We continue by God's power. And who is it on the last day who is able to make us stand? It is the power of God. So we live by faith. We start by faith. We continue by faith and we end by faith. And we start with God's power. We continue by God's power and we end with God's power. It is essential that we keep the proper perspective and act based upon that perspective. Jude chapter 1, it's the only chapter you'll find. Jude chapter 1. Verse 20. There's good stuff before verse 20, but we need to make a choice for time's sake here. Verse 20, Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating the even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Do you see our faith in God's power there? See, our faith, that is that we are evaluating things properly, which is informing the way that we walk. Okay? Building ourselves up in our most holy faith. That is, you know, part of that's going to be perspective. Part of that is we do the things that Coach Jesus tells us to do, and that grows our faith. Right? How about praying in the Holy Spirit? Is that going to help our faith? How about keeping ourselves in the love of God and waiting anxiously for his mercy? Oh, and then that also connects to how we interact with other people. That if we live and walk by faith, we're going to be snatching them out of the fire because we're going to be helpful with their doubts. We're not going to put out those who might be struggling, those who might be doubting, those who might be having difficulties. There's save others, snatching them out of the fire. Oh, and also we don't wink at sin. That is, we hate even the garment polluted by the flesh. And guess what? As we live and we walk by faith in those manners in particular, he is able to make us stand. Because without his assistance, which one of us is going to stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior at the last day? Not a single one of us. But we can have great confidence because he makes us stand. Verse 24 there. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. At the salvation ready to be revealed. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 1. We want to be ready for his revelation. We want to be ready for this revealing. Again, I feel like I've hit it often here, so I'm not going to belabor it too much. But we want to talk about this salvation in particular, in this context, in this verse of verse 5, is specifically referring to the salvation of our bodies, right? That we're going to get a spiritual body. It's the salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. Right? And so that's connected to the salvation of our soul, if you will. But this is specifically talking about the salvation that is ready to be revealed. That is, we want to finish strong. We want to be ready for his coming. This is brought out in many different parables, but I really appreciate this one. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, we want to be ready for Jesus at his coming. Matthew 25, starting in verse 1. Remember, the kingdom of God is the church. Kingdom of heaven is the church. Matthew 25, 1. Matthew 25, 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered and said, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly, truly," or excuse me, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. We want to make sure that we have oil in our flasks, that our lamps can keep burning. And guess what? Nobody else can have our oil. That is, you can't have somebody else's faith and somebody else can't have your faith. You got to get it for yourself. And so we want to be ready and we want to make sure that we keep the lamps burning. Okay? And so the challenge here, kind of in the middle, one of the things that is going to come through towards the end of this lesson as well is, how are we getting ready for his return? Because I think sometimes we have a tendency to think that there's some sort of magic happening that will encourage us to become our ideal, to become more spiritual down the road. Whenever I can get through this rough patch in life, then I'm going to prioritize the things of the kingdom. After the next, you know, after the kids get older, after the next promotion, after, you know, after daylight savings time is over. I mean, people, it doesn't have to be anything, right? And then on the other side of that, it's like the, you know, it's like the leprechaun with the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, right? You just, there's always something else. And so we want to be aware that we are prioritizing the things of the kingdom today. So going back to 1 Peter chapter 1, and again, you guys know me. That's not me saying don't prepare for things, okay? But we want to make sure that the things in our life serve the kingdom, that we don't serve the things in our life. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Trials produce a stronger faith. Coach Jesus does know what we need. Was talking within the past 2 or 3 years, I felt like I hit on Hebrews chapter 12 a lot, because we were talking about the discipline process and working together with the Lord in his discipline process and not fighting him, because he knows what we need to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And so let's work with him. Let's not work against him. Now, I remember personally going back to my basketball days, Matt Wilson was a great basketball coach. And all the way through probably my junior season, and you guys got to understand that, like, my sophomore year was my first year of playing any sort of organized basketball. And I had big aspirations, but I had very little experience. And Matt was a really good coach. And so one of the things that, particularly going through practice and that sort of thing, probably through my junior year, I thought he hated me. Right? I thought he couldn't, because he knew a couple of things. Number one, he knew that I needed to develop a growl. It wasn't my natural tendency, and especially as being a center, I needed to develop a growl. Well, how are you going to develop a growl unless somebody shows you what a growl looks like in practice? Right? And number two, he was willing to push me. And he was willing to push me in ways that I had never been pushed before. And so, you know, basically, you know, I wasn't an only child, but I basically was an only child, right? With, you know, two parents that were old enough to be my grandparents. I hadn't gotten a lot of that push and things other than academics and, you know, spiritual things. I had gotten some push, but I had never really gotten a push like you get in athletics. So if he's pushing me, he must hate me, right? Well, no. Okay, how do you have big aspirations and also not, don't let anybody push you? Those two things don't go together. You got to choose one, right? And so I really appreciated the fact that he saw what I really wanted and he pushed me. Well, guess what? The Lord knows what we need. The Lord knows what we really want. And so are we going to work with the Lord to understand that these trials are not against us? These trials are working to refine us. They're working to bring out that faith. They produce a stronger faith. And so the Lord has a discipline process, and trials can be a part of that process. The trials test our faith to get results. Everybody wants the results. Everybody wants the results, but the question is, are you willing to go through the tests? Everybody wants to win on game day. Are you willing to practice so that you do win? Remember that faith is doubts overcome. Faith is not never having doubts. Faith is not struggling through certain seasons. Faith is not, you know, never facing hardship or difficulties. Faith is doubts overcome. And so are we willing to put in the work to overcome any of those doubts that might be popping up? Because if we're willing to work with the Lord in his discipline process to get a faith that is tested, that is then a faith that can be trusted. That's what we want. We want a trusted faith. See, one of the reasons why people who, you know, the Christmas and Easter crowd, okay, even the Christmas and Easter crowd within the Lord's church, let's say, when things go really wrong, they want to have faith, but it's pretty hollow because their faith hasn't been tested, so they can't trust it. It's actually really important, too, when we're thinking about, you know, Jeremiah, your Lord's Supper was amazing. I loved it. You know, it's funny the way that the world sees things versus the way that God sees things, right? And, you know, leadership itself needs to be tested before it should be trusted. And if leadership hasn't been tested, then there's no business in it being trusted, right? And so faith, though, is doubts overcome. Are we going to live by faith through the trials? If we are going to live out our faith through the trials, then we gain something extremely valuable. See, God didn't need to know what Abraham's faith was. He already knew prior to Abraham sacrificing Isaac. But it's sure valuable for Abraham to know what his faith was, how that grew. And so the Lord is actually providing these various trials for us to be able to have a faith that is tested, that therefore can be trusted. Know that it is legit, that it's there when we need it. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, we'll come back here to 1 Peter. Taking a look here at Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also known as Rakshak and Benny from VeggieTales. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 8. For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you, and they do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the moment that you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast in the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? He's about to find out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. Translated, our boss is bigger than you. We don't even need to respond. We're good. Do what you got to do. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. As in, you're about to see, buddy. He's able to deliver us out of your hand, O king. Guess what? He's able and he's going to. They had faith, which had been tested, that now they knew that they could trust. And to me, verse 18 is such a humble statement. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. This is not a statement of doubt. This is a statement of understanding that they are not fully aware of what God's plan might be. God might need three martyrs. And so they're like, it's our understanding that God will deliver us. He's able and he will. But even if he doesn't, it doesn't mean that he couldn't, and it doesn't mean that he abandoned us. It means for his bigger plan, he needed three martyrs. That's the value of a tested faith. Complete trust in God's plan. Because we're going to have opportunities to have our faith tested as well. And it's going to look different. You know, you think about 1 Peter and it talks about various trials. And it's like, if necessary, by various trials. And a lot of 1 Peter is about overcoming through trial. And for us, you know, thankfully there's relative peace from outside opposition when we're talking about freedom in this country and those sorts of things. But if you're doing the work of the Lord, you're going to get pushback. You're going to get opposition. You're going to get people who are working against you. And the value of a tested faith means that you don't have to take those things into your hand. You can just trust God with it. That you can participate, you can do your part, and allow God to work out all of the details. That you don't have to be, I mean, I think sometimes people want to be, they want to be the vengeance takers. You know, they want to be, you know, they want to be the church Batman, the Cape Crusader, you know, going to make sure that all of justice is dueled out. But, you know, I really appreciate, you know, the encouragement of the scriptures. I have Romans 12:19 on the board there. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And so while evil should make us upset, okay, it's not my job to dole out that vengeance, right? You know, especially being in position of being an evangelist, there's a lot of times where people will take swipes at your work, right? Well, one of the things that I really appreciate is that from the Lord knows what's really going on. The Lord knows how things really are, and the Lord knows what everybody's heart really is. And so I don't need to be nearly so concerned about the people that are working against what we're trying to do locally, I need to be worried about how do we get the job done? And let the Lord work out any sort of vengeance that needs to take place, because he knows. He knows it all. And a lot of times we take things, you know, personally, we take things and we only see a little bit of the perspective, right? And so really appreciate the fact that, like, hey, that's not my job. I can trust the Lord for that. And so you don't have to get all excited about things that is not on my to-do list. The Lord can take care of his to-do list just fine. Our faith, God's power, right? Another example of this and being able to trust in God's plan is the familiar Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So I can rest in this as well. If I have a faith that is tested, that now I can trust, then I can know that Romans 8:28, that God does cause all things to work together for good to those who love God. And that presents a tremendous amount of encouragement to my heart. It's gonna work out for his good. Now, a lot of times people read this the way that they want to read it as opposed to what it actually says. How they read it is, we know that God causes all things to work together to good to those who love God according to the way that they think that good looks, according to what they think should work out. But you notice that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were like, God's going to work this for good even if he doesn't deliver us. That it can still work for good for his kingdom. Right? If I can take a little bit of liberties there. It's all going to work together for good. However, that works out. Because I think about Stephen in particular, is that Stephen, you know, he goes out rough, but it worked together for good. And so when we have a tested faith, then we have a trusted faith that Romans 8:28 is true no matter what the circumstances are. And so then I can rest in that, knowing that God has it. And it can give me joy over the realm that is not seen. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. I'm so thankful that he has left us a system that even though we can't see him, we love him. He's left evidence so that we can draw evidence, so much so that it is proof that we can follow what the Word of God says, that even though not a single one of us in this room has ever seen Jesus Christ, we love him. We love him. We know what he has done for us, and we believe in him, and we are those who are communicating the righteousness of God to an angelic realm that is unseen. And so even though we haven't seen him, we love him, and we believe in him, I'm thankful that he left a design by which we can believe in him. And the question is, does that get us full of joy? Because there are all sorts of emotions, including happiness, that can be fleeting. I don't know that. I would say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were calm before King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know how happy they were. I don't know that they were chipper. But they were full of joy. Because they knew that they had a faith that had been tested and that they were able to trust. And understanding that we have a God who, though we have not seen, we can reliably love him. And that we can believe in him. And that we can know that the Bible is true and that we can know that those passages that we looked at earlier in Romans are true, that vengeance is not ours, and that things do work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I can let those things be God's and trust Him with it. They're not on my to-do list. But I can then focus on the things where I can participate with Him. And that is to obtaining the outcome. What is the outcome of our faith? We start by faith. We continue by faith. We end by faith. We start with God's power. We continue by God's power. We end by God's power to the outcome of our soul's salvation, both now and eternally. That's the outcome. Put in the faithful inputs and trust God for the faithful outputs. I want to end in Revelation chapter 2. Kind of an odd place to end, maybe. We've just been thinking about this quite a bit from a couple different perspectives. Number one, I was thinking about faithful until death. You know, that's all that stood out to me for the past few years in particular, because there's a couple of things within that. Faithful till death. Well, or faithful unto death. It's like, okay, so faithful to the eventuality that if Jesus Christ doesn't come back until I die, I want to make it all the way through. But also faithful unto death, that is faithful even when faced with the possibility of death, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they're faithful unto death, no matter what adversity they're faced with. And that phrase is here in Revelation chapter 2. And I've also been thinking a lot about evangelism lately and the importance of getting the gospel out there. And so I thought about, you know, the beginning of chapter 2 here with the message to Ephesus and how important that is as congregationally momentum is gained and things are moving forward. And so I just felt, I wanted to share and end with this as we're thinking about faith. Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, that you cannot tolerate evil men, that you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat in the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and who has come to life, says this, I know your tribulations and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. So we want to have a faith that is tested so that we can trust that faith to our soul's salvation, both now and to eternity. Amen.